Turning your Bible to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. This morning I want to talk about joy and where joy comes from. Sometimes there's a misunderstanding of what joy is. In Romans chapter 5, we'll just read verses 1 through 11. The Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, by the Holy Ghost, rather, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would dare to die. But God commendeth His love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank You, Father, for this time this morning. And Lord, just pray that You'd open our hearts and minds, Lord, that give us an understanding of what joy is. And Father, that through that joy, we might better serve You. In Christ's name, amen. This is not an exhaustive message this morning. We're not going to touch every aspect of joy. But how long do you think you could smile without stopping? I forget how many muscles they say it takes in the face for a person to smile, but it is several. They say it takes more to frown. However, there's a little girl by the name of Lisa Lester. She smiled for 10 hours and 5 minutes straight. She never quit. She broke that old record by 7 hours and 32 minutes. But ultimately, she had to stop smiling. She could not continue on. This morning, I want to talk about a joy that goes far beyond a smile. A smile is an outward action into something that's seen from the outside. But joy is something that comes from inside. A smile at best can only last a few hours, but joy is eternal. Who can tell me what the shortest verse in the Bible is? Well, you're only partially right. That is the shortest verse in the Bible in English. But the shortest verse that we have in the Greek text is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, which says, "Rejoice evermore." He doesn't say 10 hours, but evermore. We're going to talk about joy and the fullness of joy and where it comes from this morning. A little bit of a lengthy introduction. We need to understand what the difference is between joy and happiness. What is the difference between joy and happiness? Our recent generations seem to be only content with happiness, trying to fulfill their happiness in everything they do. Yet, happiness depends on what happens to us. You understand that we're not to be happy all the time. We're not meant to be. Happiness depends on what happens. If our half is good, we're happy. And if our half is bad, we're unhappy. And if we put our faith in happiness, we will be a victim of circumstances. If our faith is in happiness, when the circumstances change, so will our happiness. Do you understand that God never changes? And the Bible doesn't tell us to rejoice in circumstances. The Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord. And therefore, since He never changes, the Bible says we are to rejoice evermore. Do you know happiness is like the cosmetics? It's like the makeup that's put on the outside. But joy is like the character. Happiness comes from the outside and joy comes from within. Happiness meets our surface needs, the needs on the outside, but joy will meet our deepest need. Happiness It's like a thermometer. It tells the temperature of our circumstance or our condition. But joy is like the thermostat. It regulates our condition. Happiness can disappear and it can evaporate in times of suffering. And it can wane. Happiness always works best when it is rooted in joy. If we have joy and we overlay it with happiness, that's a wonderful thing. Joy is not dependent on happiness. And joy can many times function better when happiness is taken away. Do you understand how cruel it is to tell somebody that is maybe dealing with an issue or a problem in their life to tell them to smile and be happy? We're not to be happy all the time. We're not expected to. You understand how hard it is to be happy with the current circumstances in everyone's life? Each and every one of us in this room are dealing with different circumstances and situations in our life. And if we look worldwide and we look throughout our country and throughout the world, I read a statistic just the other day that said that since China, and this is dreary, and I would hope that this message would be more uplifting this morning, but since China enacted the one-child-only law in 1971, an estimated of 336 million children have been murdered in the womb by abortion. How can you be happy about that? We're not expected to be happy all the time. America murders 1.5 million babies a year. People are not to be happy all the time. They're not expected to. The Bible says in chapter 53 and verse 3 of Isaiah, turn over there, 53 verse 3 in the book of Isaiah. 53 verse 3. The Bible said of Jesus that he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. A man of sorrows and he's acquainted with grief. But the Bible also says and speaks of the joy of the Lord. The Bible says the Lord was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. You heard that song, the little, it's a children's chorus song. It says, I'm in right, out right, down right, happy all the time. Well, I don't believe that paints an accurate picture of the Christian life. It doesn't necessarily paint the accurate picture of what it is to be a Christian in our daily lives. This is a life full of tragedy and sorrow and heartache and pain. There's mourning. There's pain. But do you know that you can have joy amid all these sorrows and circumstances? Do you know that the circumstances in our lives cannot change the joy of the Christian life? Happiness is on the outside, but joy is on the inside. So we ask, why is joy so important? What's so important about joy? Do you understand joy is important to winning people to Christ? Do you know our joy in the Lord may be the only attractive thing to the lost person? It might be the only thing we might have that would give somebody a desire to meet Christ that we might be able to use to lead that person to the Lord. A cold, dead faith has no appeal. A cold, dead faith has no appeal. In Psalm chapter 51 and verse 13, David was out of God's will. If you look over there, Psalm chapter 51 and verse 13. David says in 51 verse 13, says, then will I teach, back up to verse 12 rather. Says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways and sinners shall be converted unto thee. David was saying when he got his joy back, then he could witness to people again. That he could be a testimony for the Lord. His testimony is suffering because of the lack of joy that was caused by sin. Joy is the proof that what we have is real and that it truly satisfies. Joy is necessary in just living the Christian life. As I alluded to just a couple minutes ago, just being a Christian, just serving God and doing the best we can on a daily basis, we need joy. We need that joy of the Lord in our hearts to get through the day. We're to serve the Lord with gladness. We serve with gladness. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength." It is joy that lubricates life. It is joy that lifts the burdens that we bear. It is joy that takes the pain and the dreariness and the weakness out of any work. It isn't always easy serving God. It is not always easy to work. There have been times that I have had to do some, they're not colorful duties. I don't know why, but every time I think about it, having to do something that just you didn't really want to do was when the toilet in the men's bathroom plugged up. The water ran out of the bowl and kept getting used. So I'll leave it at that. However, it needed to be done. And it didn't do it out of bitterness and frustration. It wasn't necessarily enjoyable. But we do it because we love the Lord. There are four basic things or ingredients, you might say, to joy. In Romans chapter 5, there are four basic qualities of life that bring joy and make life worth living. Look again at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." To be clean before God, we have to have a cleansed life. To be clean before God causes indescribable joy. To know that there is no sin between you and God. It's a cleansed life. Joy comes from having peace with God. Peace of God comes by the grace of God. And grace of God brings justification. And justification brings joy. What Paul was saying here is he is saying is faith brings justification, and justification brings peace, and peace brings joy. To know that your sins are forgiven. Briefly, what justification is, I've heard it said in a short term, it's says justified, never sinned. It's the definition of justification. We'll take it a little farther than that this morning. Justification is a legal term. And the Bible also says that righteousness is reckoned unto us. And the word reckoned is a bookkeeping term. Our lives are recorded in God's book. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." You understand, there's not a thought in your mind, there's not an action you've ever done, that there's not a word spoken that God doesn't know about. God knows the intentions and the desires of our hearts. He knows the deeds that we do, both public and privately. Everything we have ever done, we cannot hide from the eyes of God. You understand that if a person serves in this church or does anything in the name of God, God knows the reason why they did it. Many can serve outwardly, but they have a heart that's not right with God. Our entire life is put in something like a ledger. And you can, if you know what a ledger is, or you can compare it to some financial paperwork. There's a ledger over here, and everything that we have, everything we've done in our lives before salvation is written there. And it's in the red. It's in the negative. It's a debt that's owed. So what is justification? Remember, reckoning is a bookkeeping term. And God, when He justifies you, He takes all those things, all the things that are on the ledger, on this side of the ledger, everything that's on this side of the book, and He takes them off that side and He puts them on the other side. And that other side is in the black, if you understand what that is. It's in the red, it's a debt, it's a negative. You're behind. If it's in the black, it means you're positive. It means there's money in the bank. God takes all those things that we've done, He takes them off that ledger when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, and He puts them over on His side of the ledger. Then Jesus comes across with all those of all those sins, and He puts paid in full with the blood of Calvary. All these things are transferred over to God's side of the ledger, but justification is not finished yet. Because then God takes the purity of Jesus Christ. He takes the perfection. He takes His righteousness and He puts it over all those things. And all those things are inherently Christ. And He puts those on our side of our leg as well. It's on our side. The Bible says that He imputes to you righteousness in Romans chapter 4, verse 22. Turn over there, just one page back. Chapter 4, verse 22 in the book of Romans. Therefore, it was imputed to Him for righteousness. Christ's righteousness put over on our account. Justification means that the righteousness of God is imputed to us. When this happens, we are clean, and we will have great joy. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus took 70 of the disciples, and He sent them out two by two, and He gave them great power. And when they came back, they were exceedingly joyful, the Bible says, and says, Lord, even the demons were subject unto us in Your name. Even the demons were subject to us. But Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, let's look over there, look at also verse 19. Book of Luke, chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Jesus said, Behold, I give unto you power to tread on all tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means hurt you. But then Jesus says, this is what the point is, we're going to come in joyfully and exceedingly glad. In verse 17 He says, but in verse 20 Jesus says, Notwithstanding in this rejoice not, but the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. That your name is written in heaven. Better than the power over the demons, better than money, better than wealth, better than appearances or careers, better than anything you can possibly imagine, it's better to be justified by faith and placed in the Lamb's Book of Life. If cleansing brings joy into your life, do you know what takes joy out of your life? Cleansing brings joy, what takes it out? It is sin. When you as a Christian allow sin to creep back into your life, when you as a Christian allow sin to have a place in your life, it'll destroy that joy which you had when you were saved, when Christ came into your life. That joy began. But when you allow sin into it, it takes it away. David prayed in chapter 51 of Psalms, verses 12 through 13, again he says, Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You know, David didn't pray to restore salvation unto him. He asked to pray to have the joy of his salvation restored unto him. Once a person is truly saved, once a person has given their life to Christ, once a person believes and puts their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, they cannot lose their salvation, contrary to the teaching of some. But you can lose your joy. And the only thing that will take that away is sin. Sometimes you just, when we go through our days, and it doesn't matter what we do, there's various occupations represented in this room, and some are retired, or some don't have to do as much, some do more, doesn't really make any difference. Sometimes we just don't feel the joy in our life. Maybe the doc tells you you have cancer. Do you understand that cannot take the joy from your life? Maybe you come from a broken home, or you have a broken home. That can't take the joy from your heart. A wayward child, your house burns down. The only thing that can take the joy from the Christian life is sin. You might ask, what if somebody's mean to you? What if somebody does something terrible to you in your life? Do you understand that does not take the joy from your heart, but it does take it away from his? Your reaction to what he does can take the joy from your heart. A good indication of who a person might be can be determined by their reaction and not their actions. Your actions can be planned. personal little story that when I was much younger, maybe not much younger, probably older than I care to admit, but I had a real problem and struggle with it even today with certain language that might come out of my mouth. I come from an environment, not necessarily at home, but the people I hung around with, that foul language was just commonplace. We use it in everyday language. But the interesting thing was, and I was thinking about this just last night, that when I was around certain people, I could control it. Now when I was around friends and other people, that I could, seemed like this. Certain words came out of my mouth and they just flowed like it was natural. Yet if I was around certain adults or the pastor or people in church, I didn't have to use any of it. It was a planned action. Smash my thumb. That's a reaction. That's something you can't plan. We do the best to bite our tongues sometimes. If someone was to come up to me and spit in my face for preaching this morning, do you know that can't take my joy away? For preaching the Word of God, that cannot take my joy away. That doesn't take my joy, it takes His joy. Fact is, the Bible says that it should increase my joy. For Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 through 12, the Bible says that when men persecute you, we're to do what? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. But if my reaction is bad, that would take my joy. If somebody wrongs you and your reaction is a negative reaction, that doesn't take their joy, it takes yours. Only one thing can take the joy from a life, and that is sin. And the only kind of sin that can take the joy from a Christian's life is his own sin. That's the only kind of sin, not somebody else's. Nothing I can do can take your joy. When we are saved and justified, there's nothing between us and the Lord. Then begins the joy and the happiness of the Christian life. And there's a song, "Nothing between my soul and my Savior." Nothing can erode that away except for sin. And if we find that we've lost the joy of the Christian life, if we find that there's sin in our lives, we need to get down on knees and pray to God and be specific. And like David said, it says, "O Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." We need to be specific and ask God's forgiveness for the sins in our lives. Do you know who the most miserable person in the world is? Not somebody that's homeless. Not somebody in great despair and adversity. The most miserable person in the world is an unsaved man outside of the will of God. The most miserable person is a man who has let sin take control of his life. And he's lost his joy to salvation because of sin in his life. There's a cleansing, there's also a confidence. Again, in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through God, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory." We rejoice in hope. You know what hope means? Hope means a steadfast confidence that is based on the Word of God, even as Pastor said this morning. Hope and faith are not things that are just a shot in the dark. It's something we work and we strive and we strain to achieve. Hope is not something that maybe it'll happen like we use it today. Hope is solid confidence, no question, confidence based on the Word of God, His infallible Word. Hope has nothing to do with uncertainty. Hope has everything to do with the steadfast confidence in the Word of God. Do you know why Christians have joy? Do you know why they have and should have joy in their life? Because a Christian has confidence, he has hope in the Word of God. Do you understand that no matter what happens to me, no matter what happens to a Christian, we know, as in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We rejoice in hope. Probably one of the saddest words in the English language is hopeless. And it seems in our There was a report on the news yesterday of a man. Do not know his circumstances. I do not know what his motives or his desires were or why he did what he did. But he shot and killed his 5-month-old child. And then he tried to commit suicide, and someone had intervened. It makes you wonder if he felt his life was hopeless. Sad word. But for the Christian, nothing is hopeless. We have hope in Christ. We have our hope in God's Word. And a confidence, Paul said in chapter 5, verse 2, he also says it again in Romans chapter 12, and verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. The Christian hope and the joy in which we have is no matter what happens to us, I know that no matter what happens to me, God is in control and I'm not worried. You know, worry can be sin. That's another message. You think of what the worst thing that could possibly happen to me in this life. What's the worst thing that could happen to me is I could die. But I know that no matter what happens, God is greater. If I was told that I was going to die in 5 minutes, that's okay, because I'd be in heaven with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says, we are confident, we have hope. That hope is steadfast and sure based on the Word of God. He says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. If you're saved this morning, it doesn't matter what happens to your life. If you were to die today, you'd be in heaven with the Lord. This joy that we have is in the Lord and is steadfast in sorrow. This joy is triumphant even in great tribulation and trials in our life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 4, great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. This joy is lasting in losses. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyful the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. An enduring and a better substance. What if you left church this morning and you found when you got home that your home had been robbed? It had been broken into and everything you owned was gone? Would you still have joy in your heart? If your joy was in your home, the answer would be no. But if your joy comes from the Lord, your joy would still be there, regardless of the circumstances. Do you understand the Bible never tells us to rejoice in our home or in our furniture? Or in our cars, or guns, or sports teams, or recreation, and the list can go on and on and on. The Bible never tells us to have any joy or rejoicing in material things of this world. The Bible says to rejoice in the Lord. What does it say of these Hebrew Christians he was talking about in chapter 10, verse 34? They took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. Do you understand what it was like for a Jew to become a Christian? In the first early church, do you know what it was like for a Jew to become a Christian? They'd lose their jobs. They'd lose their homes. They'd lose their possessions. They'd be chastised. They'd be cast out. They'd be disowned and even lose their lives. Yet joyfully, they took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. I heard an illustration of a man, testimony of a man. Two different occasions while he was in church, while he was sitting here in church, his house burned to the ground. Twice. Most of us have never experienced that even once in our lives. Twice, while sitting in church, his house burned to the ground. And you know what he said? The Lord's will be done. It's all good. It's okay. It can be replaced, he said. Where was his joy? But his joy is in the Lord. We need to ensure that our joy is in the Lord and not in this world. We have confidence in hope, which is the Word of God, confidence. This joy is rooted in cleansing, through justification. It is rooted in confidence. We rejoice in that hope. And nothing is hopeless to the child of God. Thirdly, and I must hurry along, commitment. Again, in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, he says in verse 1, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is saying that he has made Jesus Lord of his life, and he said, therefore I rejoice. You understand that we cannot have the cleansing, we cannot have the confidence if we do not have commitment to Christ. And this is something that many, many people struggle with every day, is commitment. We can't separate them. And you cannot have cleansing and confidence without commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. That is also the secret of cleansing and keeping clean. It is not always easy to be a Christian. It is not easy to serve God on a daily basis. It is definitely not easy to try and be a witness to other people. Being up here this morning is one of the hardest things for me to do. But I'll tell you now, I do not like attention. And I do not like to be the center of attention. There's a man by the name of F.B. Meyer. He was a pastor and a preacher. Had a young man that came into his church and he spoke. And F.B. Meyer said that there was something that there was in that man's life that he desired that he did not have as a pastor. There was a joy and something that he seen in this man's life. His name was C.T. Studd. He was a man that he just seen what he had, and he said, I don't have that, and I desire it. He went to him early one morning, and he spoke with him, and he says, what is it that you have? Give me the secret. Tell me what it is that you have that I don't have in my life, because I desire it. He says, my people, my church, they look to me, and he says, you have something I don't have, and they need. He asked him, he says, have you given your life wholeheartedly to the Lord? Have you given Him everything in your life? F.B. Meyer, in a sense, says, mostly. He says, if you've not given God everything, every little detail of your life, he says, you need to go home and you need to be determined to allow God to have complete control of your life. F.B. Meyer says, he illustrates it this way. He says, it's like I took a wad of keys out of my pocket. And he says, I took that set of keys out, and he says, I handed them to the Lord. He says, Lord, here's the keys, but he saved one little key off of it. And he said it this way. He said, as the Lord said, have you given me all the keys to your life? And he says, all but this one little one. It's just a small, insignificant one. But he said, you cannot give me all the keys to your life, but I can take none of the keys of your life. And he said, the Lord's began to walk away. And he says, no, O Lord, if you'll allow me to keep that small key, I will double my efforts to serve you. And the Lord said, no. And he began to turn again and around to leave. And Meyer desperately called out and says, make me willing. Make me willing to be given to give up that key. He says, I am not willing, but make me willing to be willing. So he said, the Lord turned around and took the little key. He took that little key and he showed F.B. Meyer what that little key was, what was behind the door, that little key unlocked. And F.B. Meyer says that what he saw was putrid and he hated it. Through this, F.B. Meyer gave up every little ounce of his life to the Lord. And he was able to open every room with the keys that F.B. Meyer gave him and cleanse him and purify him, and God mightily used him. Ask yourself this morning, is there a small key in your life that is spoiling your joy? Is there something you're holding back from God? Is there some sin that you aren't quite ready to let go? According to the source of this illustration of F.B. Meyer, he's also credited with saying that if Jesus is not Lord of all, He is not Lord at all. And fourth and finally this morning, look down to chapter 5 and verse 11. Chapter 5 and verse 11. And now, and not only, rather, so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We rejoice in God through Christ. It's a relationship. We have communion with God through Christ. It's a relationship with God. Do you know that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy? We rejoice in the Lord. It is the fruit of the Spirit when we rejoice. Joy is not found in circumstances. It is found in the person of Jesus Christ. We'll not turn here, but for sakes of time, but Philippians chapter 4:4, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. In John chapter 15 and verse 11, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. In 17, John chapter 17 and verse 13 says, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. When we commune in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we have that relationship, as it says in John chapter 15 and verse 5, he is the vine and we are the branch. We are connected. And when we commune with the Lord, we have joy that comes into our lives. We can commune with God through prayer, through Bible reading. Probably the most neglected part of a Christian's life is prayer. It's prayer. We desire a relationship with God, yet we never speak to Him. You understand the joy that we get from God? The joy we get through Christ is not an imitation of His joy. It's not a joy that you might be preached and taught through false teaching and doctrines of this world, but it is His joy. When you have that cleansed life, when you have that confidence that He is your all, when you come and make the commitment to the Lord and say, I am yours, totally yours, you then can rejoice in the Lord. We don't produce this joy. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is produced in our lives by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God. It doesn't matter how much we have. It doesn't matter how pretty we are. It doesn't matter how much we serve or how much we work or how much we sacrifice. If we don't have His joy, it is meaningless. And we do not have it automatically. It's a choice that we make. The choice begins, first of all, with knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You've seen it on bumper stickers. You've seen it in various, maybe small writings. It says, know Jesus, N-O Jesus, and no peace. But K-N-O-W Jesus, and no peace. I ask you this morning, if there's something in your life that is robbing you of the peace which God would desire you to have, deal with it now. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If there's a small key in your life that you've not given to the Lord, if there's not a small key that you have not, that small thing, what you might see small, but it is sin in your life, if you've not given that to Christ, if you've not asked God to forgive you of that, do it now. And if you do not know the Lord and Savior this morning, if you do not know Christ as your Savior this morning, the only way you can have this peace and this joy that which a Christian has is through accepting Him as your Lord and Savior. Pastor.